everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Tom, I'm 3 hours since I've had my COVID booster shot, and I'm still moving forward.
Not feeling any effects yet?
No, not yet, but, you know, who knows?
Well, maybe you won't feel any.
I hope not. Anyway, we are raring to go here on a Friday. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, October the 29th, 2021. I know we say this a lot, but where has 2021 gone? It just seems like, wow. Blink of an eye. We are on 1030, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. The call letters are KVOI, easy to remember, The Voice. We are in our 11th year, quickly approaching year 12, which will begin in January. We have our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we do a big media shout-out. These media organizations have been with the Buckmaster Show pretty much since day one, when I came up with the concept for the show after leaving Channel 6 after 22 years on Arizona Illustrated. TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan. Dan Shear, associated with the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is the editor of those two papers, and he's with me in studio. Dan, thanks for everything you've done this year.
You know, I love what you do.
Thank you very much. The Tucson Local Media Group, Jim Nintzel, of course, very involved with that. He's got the Tucson Weekly. Also, they've got Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Leah Marquez Peterson returns to the Buckmaster Show. Leah, how are you?
Good. Good to see you, Bill.
Great to see you. You are the chairwoman of the 5-member Arizona Corporation Commission. A lot of people have no idea what the ACC is. I'll give a brief little overview, and then you can add on to this. The Arizona Corporation Commission was established by the Arizona Constitution. Arizona is one of only 14 states with elected commissioners. The commission's scope of responsibility is generally larger than most other regulatory commissions in other states. Its major duties include regulating public utility companies, regulating the incorporation of businesses and organizations, securities regulation, railroad and pipeline safety. Leah Marquez Peterson, elected to the board in 2020, and she was elected then a couple of months later when the board had its first meeting, actually, elected by her fellow commissioners to the chairmanship position. She's the former president, CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, one-time congressional candidate. She was first appointed to the commission by Governor Ducey in May of 2019 and became the first Latina to serve in a statewide office in Arizona. Again, Leah, it's good to see you again. Anything you can add to those responsibilities? And I'm sure part of your mission as a commissioner is educating people on how very important this office is.
Yeah, no, thank you, Bill. And I think you've hit on it. We handle a lot more than most people realize. That's regulating electricity, water, gas, and wastewater. We could spend a whole show on just one of those items, obviously. And I know most people aren't familiar with the Corporation Commission, but we are elected. We're on the ballot. So I always encourage people to do their homework and vote the entire ballot.
But the people are very familiar with when they get their bill from the Tucson Electric Power, when they get their bill from Southwest Gas, and when they get their bill from Tucson Water. At least that's my case, my three utilities. Of course, and there's the whole thing with telephones and,
right,
and phones. So, I mean, we're familiar with that, but we don't necessarily understand that there is a commission like you chair that regulates these people.
Right, and these are monopolistic industries. So think of when you moved into your home, your apartment, you didn't get a choice. It came with, this is your electric, this is your gas,
right,
this is your water.
Right.
So we don't regulate municipal water, so not Tucson Water, Mesa Water, and others, but we do regulate Tucson Electric Power, Southwest Gas, and then we have limited jurisdiction with the telecommunication companies.
Well, before I give it over to you, Dan, last winter, and we're quickly approaching the winter season. Texas was hit with these, just a series of incredibly cold storms that really tore through their utility system. People were without power for days. How are we in Arizona going into this winter season? And hopefully we won't have a disaster like Texas.
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that often. I try to speak at chambers and rotaries and other groups throughout the state. Absolutely hypersensitive to ensuring that we have all of the energy we need to get through the winter and certainly the summer. Both of these are life and death situations for most folks in Arizona, especially in the summer. But related to Texas, this past winter, they had freezing pipes, in essence. They are a deregulated state, so they're structured entirely different than the state of Arizona. So I probably would need more time to explain, but I'll tell you.
They have a bunch of different power companies where we have very few, actually.
Because they're in a competitive market.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the challenge with that was who was responsible for the safety of the infrastructure when it's a competitive market. And I can unpack that more if you want, but that's a major question.
And one quick follow-up about in the summer, if someone doesn't pay their bill for whatever reason, there is a mechanism like a TEP. There's a fund to help people that would not, you know, so they're not going to be there without any air conditioning.
Absolutely.
Does that work on the other side of the coin in, say, cold weather?
Yes. I mean, so we have utility assistance programs that are funded federally by the utilities, which have been great at responding to so much need, which has increased during COVID-19. And even now, people are still dealing with, you know, the debt they might have incurred or grew during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we do have utility assistance, as well as certainly the government's put rental assistance and a lot of different programs in place.
All right, Dan, what are we going to talk about from your end?
Well, the Arizona Corporation Commission oversees a wide variety of entities and touches on a lot of issues. Right now, the Phoenix area is just on fire as far as growth goes, fifth largest city in the nation. How does this affect your job with the ACC, all that growth?
I mean, it's a vitally important point, and that's a good question to ask, Dan, because we need to ensure as commissioners that we have reliability and affordability, and then we also touch on sustainability, and that's a whole other conversation we can have. So if you're a large manufacturing plant or even a small business coming in anywhere in the state, you want to ensure that we have the energy that's sufficient. Some of the larger companies are coming to Arizona requesting renewable energy. So are the utilities prepared to provide the renewable energy, whether it's wind or solar, that they're looking for? So all of that whole discussion on reliability and affordability absolutely plays into so many of the decisions we have at the commission.
Does this rapid growth seem to have caught anybody by surprise or just not quite ready for it?
You know, we have a process called IRPs, Integrated Resource Planning, that each utility is required to go through. And you can read that on TEP.com or APS.com up in Phoenix. And you can see their projections over the next 10 years. I think the utilities and the stakeholders at the table have done a great job at projecting growth and responding to it. In the Phoenix area, they've had such incredible growth that the large utility company is not just APS, but also SRP. Which we don't regulate in the same fashion, but they've really stayed ahead of projections, I believe.
Salt River Project?
Right.
So let me ask you something. I'm not familiar. I haven't lived in Phoenix since I worked for the Associated Press in 1973. Dan, you lived in Phoenix. I'll ask you both. Are our rates comparable at TEP to what I would pay if I were a resident of Maricopa County and a service and I was using the APS service?
I'd say, unless you wanted to jump in, Dan. No, okay.
all yours.
TEP rates are lower than APS rates.
TEP mm-hmm. rates are lower.
SRP rates are lower than APS rates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's top of mind for me as one of the five commissioners, and certainly something that I've been trying to tackle through different policy changes that I've been proposing.
Nuclear power is still, in many areas, just a dirty word. I probably should have Googled this to see when the last nuclear power plant was built in this country. Maybe you know, Leah, but we have a nuclear power plant in Arizona, it doesn't sit idle, does it?
No. I mean, Palo Verde Nuclear Plant, which is up in the west side of Phoenix, mm-hmm. is a huge asset for Arizona and for the West Coast. It provides about 35% of the energy for the state of Arizona.
35%?
We are absolutely dependent on it.
And boy, you could win a trivia contest with that one.
That's right.
Tell me how much of Arizona's power comes from nuclear power.
Right.
30%.
So it's a great asset, and you see policy changes, political changes happening in California that have lessened their dependency on nuclear. They're closing nuclear power plants. But one thing people don't seem always realize is you might have rooftop solar on your home, but when the sun goes down, the solar doesn't work. So we need something to handle those off-peak periods that is natural gas or nuclear energy. You see the huge transitioning happening across the country related to coal plants. That we've been tackling that issue, too.
And, Dan, there was something about hydrogen that came up.
Right, and the trucking industry, the transportation
yeah.
sector. You believe that Arizona could become a leader in clean hydrogen production. What's that all about?
I do. I mean, I am not coming from an energy background, correct? I mean, you know my background in small business and chamber of commerce. But, wow, have I seen some incredible innovation as I've been serving on the commission about the last 2.5 years. In the summer of 2020, Nikola opened a manufacturing plant in Phoenix. And they're producing battery electric hydrogen fuel cell electric semi-trucks. And they're going to have these rolling out on the roads by 2023. Huge opportunity there. In 2021, beginning of this year, January, as a commissioner, we approved a special rate agreement between APS and Nikola, the Arizona-based hydrogen semi-truck manufacturer. And that was very cutting edge. Additionally, just recently, APS received a Department of Energy grant for $20 million to start producing clean hydrogen energy from nuclear power.
These would be big semis that would be rolling down the highway without
yes.
the smoke coming out of the
hydroelectric.
Truck.
Hydroelectric. And I've toured the plant. It's unbelievable. They're very futuristic looking. But by 2023, we'll be seeing those out on the freeways.
Do you regulate the coming automated vehicles?
We regulate the energy that they will be operating with, but not certainly the manufacturing of the transportation.
Dan Scheer.
Do they have a carbon footprint then, or is it just nothing?
I believe it's zero carbon.
Wow. So that's so what are the issues then today? It's just the technology is not quite there, or we just don't haven't made enough of them?
It's the availability of hydrogen to be able to make that transport, you know, the trip to depending on how many miles you're going. Some of these are short haul. Some of these eventually will be long haul. I actually toured hydrogen fueling stations, which were really great. I'm a former gas station owner. I don't know if you recall that here in Tucson.
I do. How many stations did you have in your portfolio?
I had 6 locations.
And what was your product that you were selling? Chevron or?
I was
an independent
agnostic, right? So I was Arco, Chevron.
And did you get your product through the pipeline that is brought in from El Paso?
Yep, absolutely.
And
we
is
all
that
do.
Pipeline regulated by what you're doing right now?
That's a good point. Yes, we regulate Kinder Morgan. So we don't regulate intrastate. Do I have that right? Not between the states, right. But only within the state.
Okay.
So I guess in that case, not that actual pipe. No.
Yeah. Dan.
You mentioned earlier power plants, and then what are virtual power plants, and what's that all about?
Yeah. I mentioned, I know right before we got on air, that I had just facilitated a panel on virtual power plants. And people think, well, what is that? Well, that's the alternative to building a physical power plant for hundreds of millions of dollars that could be utilizing Nest thermostats, which so many of us have, and having customers sign on to something where they're lowering their air conditioning by a degree or two, and it produces the power equivalent to building a power plant. It could be smart appliances. They're doing that a lot in California right now, and that you see a lot of that coming across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
There are just a lot of ways in which you can kind of control certain amount of energy when we have that dramatic need that people can utilize the virtual power plant.
Well, people have a dramatic need for Mona's Danish Bakery.
That's right.
And I know I have that dramatic need right now. Leah Marquez-Peterson, if you were up there right now at Mona's, home of the Danish Pringle, and you were the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, if you were standing there in the bakery and you had that difficult choice to make, looking at the wonderful baker goods, what would you be in the mood for right now? A cinnamon roll, a croissant, a slice of a Danish Kringle, a piece of Danish coffee cake. What sounds good to you right now?
Wow, coffee cake sounds great.
A slice of the coffee cake. Tom, would you give a thumbs up to that? Or you, okay, Tom says yes. Dan, what would you go with the probably just the butter croissant?
Yes, but I would want several.
Yes, I'll go with the chocolate croissant. Open right now for lunch. Steve and the team are ready for you. They open breakfast 6:30 in the morning. I'm sure we will be up there this weekend. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Leah Marquez Peterson is our Friday Focus interview. We're talking about Arizona and energy and water and pipelines and on it goes. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday Focus interview is with Leah Marquez Peterson, the chairwoman of the five-member Arizona Corporation Commission, and we articulated in the first segment with the chairwoman how important the Arizona Corporation Commission is. It was established by the Arizona Constitution, really only one of 14 states that that has elected commissioners. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. He's the editor of those two publications. He's also the editorial director for the WIC newspaper. What's their formal name? New WIC Communications?
That's it.
Yeah, WIC Communications. A couple of dozen papers from Alaska to Louisiana. So he's got a huge territory to cover. When he's not here in town, he's on an airplane up to Alaska or somewhere like North Dakota.
That is true. So,
and it's usually during the winter time. Now, he'll have a trip coming up to the to Pierre.
Yeah.
Pierre.
Pierre.
What's
South Dakota.
The paper,
South Dakota.
The Daily?
The Pierre Capital Journal.
Yeah, you'll be there'll be a problem, and invariably, Leah, he'll get the call in January.
Wow.
We need you up
there. Edna, your region was so large. That's so impressive.
Yeah,
I'm honored
region.
To be sitting next to you in the studio.
I'll send you next time.
Yeah. So one of the areas you regulate concerns water.
Yes.
Can an individual just dig a water well in this state?
You know, we don't regulate that portion. I believe so. If the county they are operating in doesn't have any kind of ordinance against that. What I know, though, is the minute you connect and start selling it to your neighbor, you're a private regulated water company. And what we've got in this state, Bill, is we regulate more than 300, not municipal, as I mentioned in the last segment, mm-hmm. so not Tucson Water. But a lot of these were developers. Grandpa started the water company, let's say, to serve that mm-hmm. development and has been passed down through the generations to the grandchildren in many mm-hmm. cases or HOA boards. And we have a lot of inefficiencies, I'll tell you. As a small business person now serving on the commission, it's an area I've really focused. We have more than 70 water companies in the state that haven't had a rate case in more than 25 years. Mm. And that's very alarming. Mm. We need to make sure that we've got the oversight, the regulatory oversight on all of these companies. And so that's an area in which I'm working.
Are there any here in Southern Arizona?
Yes, there are.
Hmm. And so they would have like a development of homeowners that would get water from this particular source.
Right. And so let's say the developer built the housing development and started the water company. Mm-hmm. So and they are regulated then by Arizona Department of Environmental Quality to make sure the quality is correct.
Yeah.
ADWR or Department of Water Resources to make sure they have the quantity of the water. And then we are kind of the distribution of the water at the Corporation Commission. Mm-hmm. So if we haven't seen them for a rate case in 25 years, and this tends to be the very smallest where they have less than 100 customers, we are not providing the correct regulatory oversight. And that's an area in which I've been having a number of workshops, coming up with solutions, trying to hear from the small business owners that run these small water utilities to figure out how would it make it easier and less expensive for you to have a rate case? And then secondly, how do we ensure that we're all discussing interagency so we know exactly the steps or the process for that water company?
Here's Dan Scheer.
Well, apropos of that, we have six water companies down in the Green Valley, Sahorita area, and that surprises people when they find that out. The Corporation Commission dealt with a cryptocurrency fraud case this week, and you found that a man was touting huge returns without disclosing the risks on that investment. Are you dealing with a lot of cryptocurrency cases? Because it really surprised me that you guys deal with this.
Yeah, where our regulatory authority is around security. So if people make false claims or they're not licensed properly, we have a very a great securities division, which is doing long-term investigations in many cases. We are civilly prosecuting people that have not been licensed or have made false claims. And unfortunately, we see very sad cases every month, Dan, where it comes before us, and whether it's gold mines in Africa or cryptocurrency or some strange investment piece that's been put together. As a corporation commission and as our securities division, we've been putting a lot of press releases warning people against scams and suggesting they do their homework before they invest.
And so you guys really have stepped up the educating of consumers on a lot of these things.
We have. I mean, we send out regular press releases. I know I have a Commissioner Mikas Peterson Facebook page. Several of the other commissioners do also. You can get on our website at azcc.gov, see our press releases there. But I know because I'm from Tucson and I'm familiar with the example of Pima Council on Aging, I make sure to send it out to Mark Clark when we see those kind of press releases and other groups to make sure that they're aware and they can run them in their newsletters.
You mean somebody could say, I'm selling shares in a new gold mine that we're putting together outside of Johannesburg, South Africa. You can buy into these particular shares. It's going to be a huge deal. And this person has no you then step in because it's
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the person's not licensed, maybe it's legitimate, who knows, but if they're not licensed, and then if it's false, we're the ones prosecuting civilly. We then partner with the Attorney General's Office for criminal investigations.
How about broadband? Are you involved
with
that?
We are, yes. Yeah. So since the beginning of the pandemic, I've been serving on a statewide broadband task force that, and I will tell you, the heroes of the pandemic related to broadband are our state libraries. They've really been responsive to our school districts, to rural and tribal communities that lacked broadband. Without high-speed internet, imagine how you really would have done any business or schoolwork during the pandemic. As a commissioner, I'm looking at each of your phone bills. You have a line item called the Universal Service Fund on there. That dollar amount comes through the commission. We have a bucket, a portion of that, that is for high cost areas of the state that we regulate. So I'm looking at, right now it's only for landlines. How could we expand that for broadband use? And I think I've been more of just a communication channel. As I hear of things at the federal, the state level, making sure I'm connecting tribal communities where I have connections, or different rural communities especially. I'm the only commissioner based outside of Phoenix, so I'm very sensitive to making sure the rest of the state is plugged in.
Joe has called us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a lifelong resident. I've been here 73 years.
Okay.
And I understand the water problem. Ms. Marquez just mentioned something that I have known for quite a while. We pipeline oil across from Texas, New Mexico into Arizona, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Why could we not pipeline water? Those states on the Gulf Coast get so much rain, flooding, and so forth. We could capture that water and maybe pipeline it to the desert.
That's a good, good question.
To the answer online.
All right. What do you think about Joe's point?
I mean, I think that's an excellent point, Joe. I think the challenge we've got is we're lacking infrastructure. The pipes that are underground now are currently used for natural gas or for gasoline. So we'd have to build the infrastructure for piping of water. There's been talks for years around Mexico and the opportunities there. But right now we're just very dependent on the Colorado River. And I know we're facing droughts. We're facing tier one shortages. We recently held a workshop at the commission to talk about the fact that when we hit tier three, that impacts our private investor owned water utilities, those 300 I mentioned. So I wanted to know that the water utilities were thinking about this, preparing, were aware of the facts, even though we're probably many years out from that. But I think we're looking for any innovative ideas at this point.
It would go the other way, too, if you had desalinization over in California and try to pipe the water over into Arizona. But again, huge investment would be at stake.
Yes, it would be.
All right, Dan Scheer.
Smartphone investing apps, these are really popular on college campuses, and they look like online gaming, and they really are a threat to inexperienced investors. They can get in over their heads. Real quickly, what exactly are we talking about? Is it day trading, and what is the ACC's role in that?
Again, that determination of whether you need to be licensed to do that is what our investigators do. So they will get into the app. They will determine exactly what you're asking of customers as they sign on, or if it's a membership fee or it's an investment fee, whatever that looks like. So I'll leave that to the investigators to determine when you need to be licensed. If you're not licensed at all and you're making false claims of a certain return, that's also an area in which our securities division will get involved.
And then that goes back to the fact that you're warning people about possible fraud, scams, and just being educated before you step into something like this.
Absolutely. I mean, anyone can go on our website, azcc.gov, and see if a company is in good standing. So probably the first step I'd say is if someone's soliciting you for investment, get on our website and see if it's an actual real company and if they are in good standing. And then do your homework.
What about these giant poles the TEP wants to put here in Tucson?
Yeah, so right now we approved about a year and a half ago a energy plan for the University of Arizona that they had proposed with Tucson Electric Power. With that renewable energy plan came the need for additional transmission to a substation that was near the U of A. What that has led to at this point now is they're having lots of public meetings and gathering input on where those transmission lines should go. How we're structured is we have a line siting committee that is made up of consumers throughout the state from Southern Arizona. I know Rick Grinnell was recently appointed to this. The line siting committee is the one hosting all the public meetings, gathering the data, receiving letters from folks. They will come up with a recommended path for that, those lines, and put it forth to our commission. I don't know the timeline. It might be first quarter or so before we see that recommendation, and then we'll take a final vote. But I encourage people, if you have passion, and I know there's lots of it out there because I get letters too regarding where this should be, or above ground, underground, who should pay for it, all those items. They should be getting at TEP.com to understand when the next public meeting is.
Why is Tucson Water not regulated by the Arizona Corporation Commission? And I know you had mentioned municipalities, which have their own water companies, are not regulated by that. Why is that?
Right.
Historically, do
historically,
you have any idea?
Constitutionally, as you mentioned in our intro, we regulate private and investor-owned. So that's not municipal, which is obviously, as people called me, and I got many, many calls related to the Tucson Water pricing differential, which I personally did not support.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't do anything about that and encourage them to contact Mayor Romero and the council, because that's really the vote that was going to happen.
Dan, do you have anything else before we say goodbye?
If we could quickly revisit the virtual power plants. In essence, what you were saying is that lots of people working together, cutting a little bit, can, in essence, create the energy that would have been lost, and we would not have to build these power plants. Is that kind of what it was
exactly
all about?
I mean, let's think historically, you would build a power plant, and that would provide the energy. Is there then an alternative to not building the power plant, if you could control so many megawatts because you've got now this new technology called a Nest thermostat, or a smart appliance that was controlled centrally that would drop the temperature or turn off the dishwasher or whatever the mechanism would be, that could in essence create the same amount of energy during that time period as building a power plant.
But the consumer, it has control over all that. There's no one turning the temperature down in your home.
It depends. In APS territory, which is in Phoenix, you sign up for a plan, you get a financial incentive every month, and they can take your temperature gauge up or down so many degrees based on what you've signed up for.
So, well, what's interesting is go back to the Texas situation that Bill was mentioning earlier, and they were asking people to, you know, to do that. How did that go over?
I think it assisted. Yeah. They realized the concern, certainly, but there's no control over that, so
That's not
something you can really rely on. Remember the heat wave that happened with California? They're reliant on the rest of the states to provide them energy. They were making desperate pleas to their consumers also to cut back. You saw Arizona utilities send the same plea because thinking, let's get our use down as much as we can, saves you money because you're using less energy. If we have any excess energy, we can sell it to California, which will better make a benefit for our ratepayers. There was lots of that going on, but nothing controlled centrally.
And I just thought of something very important. In Texas, they have that retail where you shop around.
Right.
I want to get the best price. I'll go to this utility. For that to happen in Arizona, what would that take?
That has come up multiple times before our commission. That would take deregulating our market, and there's generation, transmission, and distribution in energy. Who's responsible for what? Who pays for what? There's a consumer fraud. I mean, there's a lot of different concerns related to retail competition, as it's called. I mean, I fully support free market concepts, but I realize a lot of homework needs to be done before we embrace something like that.
Yeah. Do we know how many states have that? Texas, are they?
Off the top of my head, no, but I would say, you know, half a dozen.
So it's something we really must consider very carefully, whether the benefits would outweigh.
Right. And are there hybrids? Are there some other ways we can tackle with a program or a pilot program to test some type of competition without actually tackling the entire program.
All right, Leah Marquez Peterson, hopefully you don't have to go back to Phoenix today.
No, I'm home. Yeah. Home for the weekend.
There you go. All right, Leah, good to see you. Thank you very
much. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Dan. Good to see you both.
All right, Dan Shearer sticks around. We'll talk with Dan in a minute. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dan Shearer is with me from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, the big story, well, there are a couple of big stories of the week. Last Saturday. Wow. First, the news that Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, was involved in a terrible bicycle accident. Not his fault, just there was two vehicles, one of the vehicles kind of has been termed ricocheted into him. He's got head and head injuries and rib issues. But then the news that my friend Grant Woods, I've known Grant, the former Arizona Attorney General, probably for 30 years. He's been a guest on this program. We were going to just have him on recently.
Absolutely.
You and I were going to interview him, actually. And then he drops dead of a heart attack at age 67.
Happened last Saturday. Yeah, young. Yeah. Coming from Green Valley, definitely young. Yeah. And Grant Woods would always keep you guessing because he just didn't seem to toe a line. I mean, I know that he was very tight, of course, with McCain and the Republicans, but in later years broke with that because of over Trump. Went to my high school, by the way, my little claim to fame. Grant Woods went to my high school in Mesa. And
what high school was that?
Westwood High School. Huh. And so before long before I graduated, but he was there. But he was a very interesting man, and you had a sense that no one kind of owned him.
Kind of a renaissance man.
Yeah, yeah.
Interested in a lot of different things. So that was last weekend.
Very surprising.
Then you got the call quite late, didn't you, about the big fire that you had in Green Valley?
Yeah, so we had a fire.
Was that a middle of the night deal?
It started about 7:30. They discovered it about 8. And so this, we have four Green Valley Fire District stations, and between them they have five engines, and all of them were there. They called in two other agencies to help them actually fight the fire, and then two more agencies just to back them up on the Green Valley calls that they obviously weren't getting to. But it was kind of an all-hands-on-deck situation.
And you guys don't have this kind of breaking news very often.
No, they spend 98% of their time, the fire district does, picking people up and putting them back in bed. And
yeah.
And they will tell you that. It's mostly medical calls.
Oh,
and so.
Geez.
So when you get a good fire,
So
it was something else. We just found out the cause of it just about a couple of hours ago, and very Green Valley here. It was a maintenance building, and it had some golf carts in it, and one of the batteries or the battery charger just overheated.
Oh no!
We get that a lot down there, and you know what the fire district will actually tell you is that look, even if you're driving up to Tucson just to go to a restaurant or something, don't keep your golf cart plugged in. Because you need to be there because something can happen at any point. I've been to many golf cart fires the garage goes up and the house goes up and whatever. Yeah. So that's what it was.
Yeah. And what was the facility that burned?
It was La Posada is a retirement community there, and it was their maintenance shed, about 5,000 square feet, not counting the contents. It's about $800,000 loss. Of course, they're insured, but no residents were hurt. No one was affected. No one injured. That's the good news. And you know what? It was really good practice for the firefighters.
Oh, boy.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly it
but
was.
No dwellings were.
No. Oh, no. Just the building, and it was kind of set apart from everything.
All right. Now, another big story. We've been waiting for the redistricting. This happens every 10 years. You redraw the political lines, and there are people in Pima County that are furious about this.
Well, and they're going to be furious down where I am, because when you talk about the state legislative districts, and there are 30 of them, they are now going to take Green Valley and Sahuarita and, for the most part, split them up.
Oh.
One will be in one district, one will be in the other. So now the bulk of – well, because one is going to lean left and the other is going to lean right, and that's really what they're talking about when they're redrawing these districts, is to make sure that some are competitive and some have a heavy registration of Republicans or Democrats, just to, I guess, be fair. But my question would be, I don't care about any of that. It's really community of interest, which Green Valley and Sahuarita, everything from water to mining to business to growth, we are tied together, and yet, boom, splits it. They did take part of Sahuarita and keep it in the more conservative district. And so now you have Green Valley in the same district as Safford, but not in the same district as Sahuarita. So this is now, here's what we have, is that this is the final draft map. It now goes out to all of us, and we can now comment on it for 30 days, and then they'll jigger with it again and hopefully get final maps by the end of the year. That's the goal. We'll see if they make it.
And it's not just the state legislative districts. It's congressional as well.
Congressional as well. And so now the interesting thing for Green Valley and Sahuarita, if I can just stay down there, is that we would be moved into the same district that largely is represented by Representative Raul Grijalva, who right now has a little slice of our area, but now he would just take the whole thing. And so this would probably be a left-leaning district, of course, and it was drawn for that. And it includes all of Santa Cruz County. It's considered safe for Democrats. And whereas currently CD2, where Ann Kirkpatrick is representative, is considered somewhat competitive.
Now, the city of Tucson, this new map, divides Tucson between two congressional districts and basically puts the University of Arizona in a different district than the rest of the city.
Right, which I know the mayor, Regina Romero, is not happy with.
So
we'll have to see. And again, this is like a street by street battle. in some of this. And it's been interesting. I tuned into yesterday's meeting. I was listening to part of it, and you can see the maps, you know, draft one, draft two, draft three. They were up to 9 yesterday. And you can see the little changes here and there. And suddenly the word gerrymandering kind of comes into play at some of this. And they're trying to avoid it because the Independent Redistricting Commission, of course, is 5 people, 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and 1 independent, truly independent. And they just go and slug it out. This falls under that heading, boring but important, if you're stuck with these maps for 10 years.
And who are these people that drew these maps?
Well, I'll tell you this. The IRC, the Independent Redistricting Committee, they have got an incredible website with all the maps, all the information you would want. You need to go there and introduce yourself to these people who were chosen earlier this year, irc.az.gov. Great website, has all the good stuff in there that you would need. And if I can give a shout out to AZ Mirror, our friend Jim Small, who is a guest occasion.
Oh, yeah, Jim.
They have been doing a great job of covering this, and they have actually a tab on their website, azmirror.org, I believe, and they've been doing a great job of covering this, and they've got a good story in there right now. But you really need to kind of look on the maps at where you live to see where you're going to be.
Jim left the Arizona Capital Times to start this Arizona Mirror, which is a nonprofit, right?
Correct. About, I think it was about 3 years ago,
He'd be a good guest to bring back on the show.
I've sent him a few things on this. We've kind of gone back and forth on just various issues when they dip down into southern Arizona and cover stuff. And Jim is one of the best newsmen in the state.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. We've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up. Dan, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, take our break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
It is now time for Weekend Watch, and our theme music for Weekend Watch, Stir It Up, a little bit of Bob Marley on the Buckmaster Show, Weekend Watch, with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Are you ready just to get out of town? Jump in the car, jump in the truck, take a quick road trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a 3-hour drive. Once you're there, you will not regret the decision. So much to do, like getting outside and hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For more on things to do and places to stay, visit, spell it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly Food and Beverage columnist, generally all around great guy, who is our longtime host of Weekend Watch. Here he is, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm up and I'm dancing now that Tom has cranked the volume of the Weekend Watch soundtrack. Yeah, let me take a seat here.
They have done just a beautiful job over on the patio there at Museum, the Tucson Museum of Art. It's a great place to just kind of kick back. And they've got something going on this weekend at the museum at TMA.
Yeah, you know, this is Halloweekend. So Halloweekend Watch starts tonight at 6 o'clock at the Tucson Museum of Art for Howl at the Museum. Now, this is an evening of food and drinks and maybe a scare or two. Several local restaurants and bars are going to be serving up some sips and snacks with some live music. Now, there's also going to be a Whiskey Del Bac cocktail competition featuring some of Tucson's master mixologists. And a costume contest, of course, wouldn't be Halloween without it. The whole evening is going to run you only $40. So practice your best howl today, because tonight it's Howl at the Museum.
Anything going on with Day of the Dead?
Well, with Halloween, of course, comes the Dia de los Muertos cultural celebration. And there's going to be a big festival at Guadalajara Grill on North Kolb from 1 to 7 p.m. Tomorrow. You can get in on the action. There's going to be more than 30 vendors and a pop-up outdoor festival with delicious food and some frosty margaritas and other libations. There's going to be dancing performances, great gift ideas for your holiday shopping. The restaurant's going to be open, of course, serving their regular menu, so this indoor-outdoor festival is going to be a lot of fun. It is Dia de los Muertos Fest, and that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Guadalajara Grill.
Guess what? We haven't talked about beer on Weekend Watch yet.
Well, I can't believe we've made it this far. You know, our Halloween celebration wraps up on Sunday from noon to 5 for bikes, beers, and booze. This event is a self-guided bike tour of three local tap rooms that you can take alone or with a group in full costume if you dare. You'll visit Westbound, Dragoon Brewing, and Pueblo Vita Brewing. And you can start the tour at any one of the three, where you'll be issued a tour map, a very spooky water bottle, and one of the tap room's beers. Then just prepare to make your way to the next scary and sudsy destination. $15 gets you a tour ticket for bikes, beers, and Halloween booze on Sunday.
That skeleton outfit that you're wearing today to the Russell Public to the Russell Public Communications Halloween party here this afternoon. You've been doing this now. That costume, I think you've kind of outgrown it, but.
With all this eating, yes, but I think we're going to be logging some mileage of that costume more this weekend.
Matt, have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Cheers, my friend.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thank you. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose, make sure all those podcasts are up in a timely manner. Everyone here at KVOI, so supportive of what we do, including engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks. Really, the whole team at Bustos Media. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay safe.